thank everybody for coming back for part two. What we're going to do now is discuss and try to understand, finishing off where we were. We just finished off the first and second river. Okay, right where we left off, we'll have Catherine to pick up reading.
Okay, and we was reading about the second civilization.
Yeah.
Starting around the Nile River, referred to as Nile Valley Civilization. These first two rivers are found in the mainland of eastern Africa today. These include areas of Ethiopia, Egypt, Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda.
Tanzania.
Thank you. John G. Jackson report Ethiopian and Egyptian recorded history beginning about 35,000 B.C. It would make sense that it could take about 500 years from the fall of man, 4,000 B.C., the first two civilizations, and for man to start recording history, since the Bible teaches that some people lived about 900 years. The third civilization...
All right, let's hold it there. We just want to stop with this second. Okay? So we have in here, which is talking about the first two civilizations. Rivers are found in the mainland of eastern Africa, of what we call eastern Africa today. Now, that's important because when we read in the Bible, it says that these rivers were eastward in Eden. And so basically it's saying it's the eastern part of Eden or the eastern part of Africa, which is what we found out here. The first two rivers are on the eastern side of Africa, straight up. And if you look on your map geographically, you can see that they're in central and northern east part of Africa. So it's eastward in Africa. And it's interesting that it talks about that it includes the mainland of Ethiopia. For the first river, it deals with Ethiopia, Sudan, which is also called Ethiopia. So you got Ethiopia, a portion of Ethiopia is called Sudan today, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. And around those areas is exactly where we find what we call the African Great Lake region. And Egypt, obviously, which is the second river, which is the Nile River, which flows through Egypt, through the northern part of Egypt, all the way up until the Mesopotamia, or the Mesopotamian Sea, up in Mesopotamia, and also, so what we see, everything dumping up into that Pacific area. As we move on, we also find, as we have gone down, John Jackson makes mention that the Ethiopian and Egyptian recorded history begins around 500 years after the Bible records the fall of humans, around 4,000 B.C. So if man fell around 4,000 B.C., it would make sense that around 500 years that you start documenting things and putting things together. You have something to document. You don't have nothing to document before that. So around 500 years as they're developing, they're writing and putting all this together. So there isn't an evolution as what the Europeans would have us teach. We have not been evolving from monkeys and apes to become smarter, the super white race as we have it today, that we've been getting weaker and weaker according to the Bible because of sin. So all the different things that we have today came from back in the ancient times. Now there's other movies out, or documentaries as some would call it, that people are talking about that that they're able to, that they can't understand how people could build pyramids, how people could build sphinx, and how people could do these things. We can't do that today with our technology. And so that proves again that the people that were created in the beginning were superior to the people we are today. It's not that it's evolution that we're getting smarter, we're getting weaker and diseased and dying quicker. But from a Eurocentric viewpoint, this is the, you know, super race. This is the super technology. Nobody's ever been as advanced as the Europeans as it is today and all of this stuff. So that's what's throwing the wrench into this thing. And so what we're finding here in the Bible, that the same areas that we're talking about, that this is where everything began and around. And if people lived around 900 years, okay, you still had Adam around to talk about it and so forth, so they were able to document all of these different things. And so that's important, that people were still around to share with other people more knowledge, so people were able to develop much quicker, and their minds were like machines, like computers. Because the Bible don't say that they were eating meat and all of those other things that are cutting people's lives short today. Okay, let's look at the third river, or the third civilization. We have Catherine pick up there.
Okay. Good, okay. The third civilization. The third civilization, Sumer and Shinar, started approximately 2,800 B.C. in the proximity of the last two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. The Sumerians, 3,000 B.C. to 1,750 B.C., where the Semitic founders, Guardians and West Asians, oldest known civilization. Problems numerous and complex seem to inevitably arise within the ranks of the Western scholars and
academians
when confronted with the origins and eccentricities of civilization, such as Sumer, that are admittedly neither Semitic nor Indo-European. The Sumerians did, after all, call themselves the black-headed people. Civilization started in proximity near the Garden of Eden, which is located in classical Africa, old Africa, and ancient Africa, which is referred to as Africa and the Middle East today.
Okay. So we see here under the third river, or the third civilization, we have two rivers, the last two rivers that the Bible talks about, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Now, around that particular area, we have around 2800 B.C., we have a approximate date of a civilization existing called the Sumerian civilization. And they were non-Semitic, that means they were non-European or non-Asiatic founders and guardians of West Asia's oldest known civilization. So most people don't know that the Sumerians that lived in Sumer, where the Bible refers to that place, Sumer, as Shinar. So when you read about the land of Shinar, you're reading about the same thing of what we're talking about here, Sumer. And the Sumerians are the same people who were the descendants who lived in that area. Now, when we look at the Tigris and Euphrates River in that Pacific area, they said that it's very clear that Westerners, scholars, have realized that the people who lived in the first civilization, the Sumerians and Sumer, that they were clearly not Europeans, Indo-Europeans, and they were clearly not Asiatic or Semitic people, but clearly that they were, after all, if they call themselves the black-headed people, then they must be black. Even though scholars would say, well, we can't admit that, so we'll say that the black just means they had black hair and they wasn't black-headed. So they use all of these excuses to do the cover-up, even though when it's staring them in the face. So we can see now that we have the four rivers, the first one, which is Pison, and it surrounds the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There's Delium and the Onyx Stone. And we found all of those areas in reference to the African Great Lake region. Then we find out about Gihon, which is the second river, which is what we call today the Nile River, the longest river in the world. And then the third and fourth rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And the Tigris and Euphrates, we have them over in what we call the Middle East today. And even though they're in the Middle East today, these Sumerians who were in the land of Shinar, as the Bible puts it, the Bible talks about when the people got off the boat, Noah and his descendants. The Bible says that they went into, that they went and dwelt in Shinar, which is Sumer. So now we have again the Bible telling us where the people who had left the ark went. They went into the land of Shinar, which is the land of Sumer. So the oldest first civilization in Europe, I mean not in Europe, it's still not Europe, in Asia is, or what they would call Asia, which is really Northeast Africa, really, because what we call the Middle East was Northeast Africa. But that area right there, that area where the Tigris and Euphrates are, was created by a civilization the Bible tells us was created by Nimrod, which was the son of Cush. So if Nimrod is the son of Cush, and he developed a civilization at Shinar or Sumer, as the Bible refers to it as Sumer, and that first civilization is the first civilization that is in between the Tigris and Euphrates, and it's also called the land of Nimrod, and that's because Nimrod ruled or was the empire was under him in that Pacific area. Okay, but we'll cover that when we go into more detail of who were the Sumerians and whom was Nimrod. But as we can see, as we looked at these civilizations, the first three civilizations were all surrounded by the four rivers. And each one started with the first river, which was the most important, the African Great Lake region, as it flowed up to the Nile River, which we created what we call the Nile Valley Civilization. And then they went across, or they flowed over to what we call today the Middle East today. But in ancient world, it was called Sumer, or the land of Shinar. And in that Pacific area, the Bible says that Nimrod established Nineveh, started Calak, Ekron, and a bunch of other little cities, and Ur of the Chaldees. That's where Abraham came from. So now we got a documentation that Abraham is coming from a land where these are burnt face or black people. And these people were the descendants of Cush and with Nimrod and that whole layout. Okay, so I hope this is making some things clear, that the first Western civilization, all scholars do agree, that that wasn't done by Europeans and it wasn't done by Asians, that they were done by a group that called themselves blackhead people. And they would like to still be in denial that we know what that means. But that's where we are. Okay, so now that we understand that, now we're going to go into the next section. which is on page 24, which is the four rivers. And there's always something new that we can learn. So we pray that everyone will be able to pick up on what we're reading or what we're trying to study. Okay, on page 24, we begin with Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. Now, there's a lot of things that were mentioned in this particular two verses. One was that this first river that left the Garden of Eden, it watered the garden, and the name of the first one is called Pison. Now, today we don't have a river called Pison, but let's read on to see if the Bible gives us any other evidence of the location. And that is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah. So we don't have a land called Havilah today, but in biblical days we did, and we need to find out who was the daddy of Havilah. So at that point, then we can decide on where the land of Havilah was. Okay? Now let's see what else is here. Where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Okay, now the Bible is telling us that this place, wherever it is, it has an abundance of gold, and the gold of that land is good. Now, where is the majority of the gold come from today?
Africa.
Okay. Let's read the next paragraph. Africa produces 71% of all the world's gold in 1969. Okay, and we give you the reference, the Hermetic Expression, Semitic Connection, and JFAT, the Isles of the Gentiles chart. On there, it tells you that, and it tells you where they're referenced. Could this mean that the Bible is letting us know that the land of Havilah is in Africa based on its gold resources? So, yes. So, if 71% of the world's gold comes from Africa, what does the rest of the entire world produce in reference to gold?
29%.
Okay, we have 29%. So, that means if you double that, you'll get how much?
Double?
49. 29.
Okay. 58.
We get 58. Mm-hmm. So the world does not even produce half of what the Bible says on the earth. So if 71% is coming from Africa, then we can be for sure that the Bible is referencing this landmass and the land that is around us, around us, that river in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Bible gives us lots of hints, lots of different things so that we can go back on. So we don't have one thing, but the Bible says, let all your words be established and be two or three witnesses establishing everything. And so the gold is one, the land of Havilah is another, and Pison is another. Okay. So now, what other things do we have here? The name of the first river, which came out of the Garden of Eden, is Pison, and compasses the whole land of Havilah. There are two major viewpoints about the land of Havilah. See map 1.3. So on this page, you'll see a map called 1.3, and you'll see two Havilahs. Each of the Havilahs are surround on either side of the Red Sea. One of them is found in Africa. We call it Havilah A. We believe that that's what it really is, and it pertains to the Nile River, especially the Blue Nile portion of it. And then the other one is called Havilah West for the Eurocentric or the Western viewpoint. the Church Western viewpoint on that. And that's, they place that on the other side so that it has nothing to do with Africa. So that if you found it, you would never, if you use their maps, then you would only conclude that Havilah has nothing to do with Africa. Okay, so they rearranged the map to try to cover up the evidence. Okay, but let's find out let's see what else the Bible tells us. Okay, as I said, there are two major viewpoints about the land of Havilah. One is an African-American viewpoint held by Dr. Kane Hope Felder at Howard University amongst other blacks. The older viewpoint was created by whites in America and Europe before and during the slave trade. So if the slave traders are writing about history and they're enslaving us, well, you know they're not going to have anything good to say about Africa. So let's read on and let's see what they're saying. The Eurocentric viewpoint was used to justify the slave trade and their use of Africans in American slavery. So instead of them saying that, hey, the first rivers coming from Africa, they say instead, during the slave trade, that they're trying to use this to justify to enslave us. And so then they have to wipe out all trace or ever memory of the first two rivers, and that's why they only talk about the second two rivers in most Bibles that are written by the Europeans. Okay, today the river, reading on the next page 25, today the river called Pison is not referenced by maps geographically. So if we can find the land of Havilah, which was surrounded by the Pison River, then we might find the approximate location of the first river, which flowed through the Garden of Eden. The question is now, do we identify the land of Havilah when we study the Bible, when we study the people of the Bible, we can tell who the people of the land are by simply knowing the name of the land and their ancestors' name. So we can know people's names if you know that you can know what the land was if you knew the people's names. And why am I saying that? Okay, let's read Psalms 49, verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. So the Bible lets us know here in Psalms 49, verse 11, that people name the lands after themselves. So if you were the children of Canaan, then you named the land after you called the land of Canaan, and the Canaanites would dwell there. If you lived in Ethiopia or Cush land, the land of Cush, then you named the land of Cush. And then you would expect to find all the Cushites there. Okay? So this pattern still exists today because today we do the same thing. And so we just need to follow the pattern to see what it's saying. Reading on in page 25, whether they were black or not depends on the name of the people and the name of the land they dwelt in. The African-American viewpoint is that the land of Havilah is next to Ethiopia, since Havilah is a son of Cush. Okay? So if you look on map 1.3, which is on the next page, page 26, you will see Ham has four sons, Canaan, Cush, Mizraim, and Put. And under Cush has a few sons. One is Sheba, Havilah, and that's the name we're looking for. So he's the son of Cush. So that means the Havilites, or the people who lived in the land of Havilah, had to be Cushites because their father, that was their descendants of where they came from. This might make the Pison River what we call today the Blue Nile, or any of the Nile River tributaries. So around the Great Lakes, there's many of them. There's the Albert, there's the White Nile, there's the Mountain Nile, there's all of these rivers and lakes, and they all connect together, as the Bible says. So we have here others who are saying Dr. Felder believes it's the Blue Nile, which is fine. That's still one of the contributaries to the Nile River. We label it Havilah A for the African-American viewpoint. The traditional Eurocentric viewpoint does not allow for the land of Havilah being in the heart of Africa. We labeled it Havilah W for the white Eurocentric viewpoint. To understand more of this area, please, see People of Color Beginner's Book Series and Videos. The land of Havilah W is northeast of Arabia. This is the Eurocentric viewpoint on the Persian Gulf. See map 1.3. Arabia was framed in iniquity for its gold. The descendants of Rama lived in southeast Arabia, and the descendants of Havilah were the sons of Cush. Okay, so here is the Eurocentric viewpoint. Okay, they are putting it in Arabia, out of Africa. Okay, and they say it was framed in iniquity and there was gold. Now, it's interesting that the name Cush and Cush's original name of the land that they originally had, Nubian, that's it. The Cushites were Nubians in the beginning. And the word Nubia refers to, and Nubia, where you find it on the map, is this, it's called, it's referred to as the city of gold. So the Bible is telling you this is where all the gold came from that surrounds this land, and then Nubia means the city of gold. That's the Bible has given us all the ancient hints there is. He's telling us that Nubia is the city of gold, and the city of gold is where you find the first river. What more can you ask? Nothing. And this is where the Bible is talking about the Sudan area, the Cushite area, Ethiopians. So it's pretty clear to me, I don't know about the others, but it's pretty clear to me that this is where the river is. Okay. Now, we got the, okay, to understand more, okay, I talked about the people of color. Okay, I talked about the analysis. Okay, Havilah was one of the sons of Cush. Now, this is my viewpoint. Havilah was one of the sons of Cush. We can see that on figure 1.2, which we saw on page 26 earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay? The people simply named the land after their own name, the land after their own names and their children's name, so future generations can know who originally possessed the land. So that's real clear. The land was possessed by Havilites, who were descendants of Cush, so they were Cushites. And the Bible supports that because we read Psalms 49, verse 11, saying that that's what the people did. They named the lands after themselves. Since Cush is translated Ethiopia in many Bibles, the land of Havilah was founded by an Ethiopian under the Ethiopian Empire. Okay, and you can look at the map 1.1 if you want. Okay, We will refer again to this in chapter number 3. So in chapter 3, we're going to go into some more detail in reference to that. Havilah is the first land mentioned in Scripture, excluding Eden. Okay, including Eden. Let's see that. Okay, let me read that again. Havilah is the first land mentioned in Scripture, excluding the word Eden, and Ethiopia is the second land mentioned in Scripture. Genesis 2:13. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 5, places Havilah near Egypt. Sometimes we forget that Egypt is on the African continent. Okay, so we have here, in reference to our first river, that's pretty clear. It wasn't crystal clear, but when you go about and use all the evidence that's in there, the geography, the naming of the people, the location, it being of gold, being in Africa, and the city of gold in Nubia, if you know any history, the Bible is telling you, if you tie any ancient history together, you'll see the picture. But if you don't understand any African or ancient history, then you'll never put the picture together, because the Bible gives us all these hints. And so that's what we're supposed to do, study to show ourselves approved. That's what we're trying to do. Okay, the second river tells us is Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. Now, I need to ask, is there any questions on the first river so far? And is everything that you follow, because you know the questions are going to come.
Everything. I'm taking notes. I know it's coming.
Okay, so you have no questions. This is the time.
Okay,
no problem. We'll hit the second river. And the second river, called Gihon, surrounds the whole land of Ethiopia, which is in Africa. Risa, the 11th century commentary on the Bible, says the Gihon is the Nile River that flows through eastern Africa. Okay? So now we have the second river is the Nile. The first river is in the African Great Lake region. Okay? Now let's see what else the Bible says about the third and fourth river. And the name, Genesis chapter 2, verse 14, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which compassed, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. I meant to ask, again, is there a question about river 2 before we hit 3 and 4?
No, Professor.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so back on 3 and 4. Hiddekel is the third river. It is known and mapped geographically today as the Tigris River. It is one of the rivers mentioned in Daniel's vision of the last day's prophecy, and it can be found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4. Commentaries and scholars have identified the river Hiddekel. They say it is the Tigris River. Okay, so that's the third river. The fourth and final river is Euphrates, and it is also called, located in classical Africa, known today as the Middle East. We pray that you can see that all civilizations started in classical Africa and old Africa. It has been proven that there were universities in Africa long time before the Europeans became literate. Scholars, sculpture, science, and secular history attest to the fact that dark-skinned people were politically, culturally, and numerically dominant in the ancient world, and were the fathers of civilization of civilized society as we know it today. However, one of the best kept secrets in all of history is the identity, role, and prominence of the Negro in the ancient world. Writing in the first century BC, the Greek historian Denarius Syncrus noted, and his name is Herodias, that's what he's mainly known as, that Cushite Ethiopians were the absolute governing class in politics, the army, and the arts. Cushite scientific knowledge, medicine, and art spread throughout the Fertile Crescent from about 2800 BC to 2300 BC. Now, it's important here that as we look at this, we can see very clearly that the Bible here is, these scholars back, these Greek historians, so these are Europeans who are writing back in the first century BC, telling us that the guys who have civilization, the guys who have mathematics, politics, armies, the arts, and everything are all black-skinned people, all Africans, all Cushites. So this was before some of the Europeans became racist. They were able to attest that they even had medicine, they had scientific knowledge, the arts, and it spread through the Fertile Crescent. Mm. Okay, so you have some Europeans who wasn't racist who were just writing what they saw, mm-hmm. telling us these things.
Right.
Okay, and it says, okay, so let's take a 10-minute break, then we'll come back for our last session. And to get people to absorb this before we come back. And it's around 4:20, so we'll come back at 4:30.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.